Okay, my apologies for not having the Daf Yomi up the last couple of days. Be'ezus Hashem, I hope to try to record them the rest of this week as I'm on vacation out of town for this week, but I want to keep on getting the Daf Yomi Shurim out. We are holding, we'll pick up, I guess, from Daf Kuf Yuram Beis. Today's Daf is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yur Aleph. We will pick up from the two dots, the five lines from the bottom of the page, Daf Kuf Yuram Beis. What we're going to discuss in today's Daf is first we're going to discuss the Inyan of Sirus, the Isser to be Mesares, to castrate a person, an animal, whether it depends on gender or not. And then as we move on to the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Yur Aleph Amun Aleph, we're going to elaborate on the circumstances that a person is allowed to use vinegar as a medication for his teeth and the method of doing so. And then we're going to discuss whether a regular person who isn't always accustomed to finer oils can use rose oil and Shabbos for his loins as a therapy. And we'll point out possible ramifications that this psak may have on other areas of Hilchos Shabbos. And that will be the end of the 14th Perek of Masech Shabbos. But we also, Bez Hashem, will begin the 15th Perek of Masech Shabbos today, which is going to begin by listing different kinds of knots and whether they may be tied on Shabbos. We'll discuss the reason that a mayor allows knots that can be untied with one hand, what the Svara is to say that if it can be untied with one hand, that that's enough to make it that it's mutter to make such a knot on Shabbos. So let's pick up from five lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis at the two dots again. So we're discussing how to handle jaundice. So the arkona, if a person suffers from jaundice, trin b'shichra, so you take two of the ingredients that we mentioned earlier in Daf Kuf Yud, and you mix them with beer, umeakar, and use that as the therapy. But meakar causes the person to become be unable to have children. So frankly, Gemara, wait a second. If this therapy causes the person to be unable to have children, umishari, such a therapy mutter. V'atanya minayim l'sirus ba'adam shu aser. How do I know that it's aser to be misari, see human being, and it's aser to make a human being unable to have children? Tamal lomar, because the pasuk says ubi artzichem lo. Meaning the pasuk says, "Umauch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus lo sakrivu l'Hashem." And the last three words of the pasuk of "Uva artzichem lo sasu," that you can't do this, you can't crush or ruin or cut the genitalia of a person. And it says "Uva artzichem lo sasu." So we darshin bachem lo sasu, divrei b'chanina, that you're not allowed to do it bachem. You're not allowed to do it in human beings as well, not just in animals. So says the Gemara. So don't you see from there that it's also to be misaris a person? So how can we suggest a therapy for jaundice that involves doing some sort of serus on the person? Isn't that automatically going to be aser? So answers the Gemara. No, that's only when you're dafka doing a sirus. Over here, the sirus happens on its own. Because after all, Rabbi Yochanan gave an etzah of how to be misaris a tarnagol. He says you take the certain part of the tarnagol off and it becomes misaris me'elav. So you're not going ahead and doing the sirus actively. You're not doing it biyadayim. It just happens on its own, and that's going to be okay. So says Gemara, Vahama Ravashi, wait, no, that's a misquote of the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Ravashi said, Ramos Rucha hu d'nikitalei. No, the case over there was, Ravashi said, that's not talking about real sirus of the tarnagol. It's just saying that you've, so to speak, emasculated the tarnagol in a certain way by taking away its glory and its splendor, and he's not going to be able to therefore be mishamish because he loses all his confidence. But this real sirus, where you really affect the genitalia in some way, that would be usher, even if it just happens on its own based on something that you did over here by the tarnagol. That's not what's going on at all. You're just emotionally scarring the tarnagol to make him unable to have tashmish. So that's not a good example at all. So says Gemara, Ella Bisaris. No, the case where we're recommending this therapy for jaundice is someone who's already a siris, someone who already is already castrated, he's already unable to have children. So such a person, there's no issur in taking such a medication. So frankly, Gemara, really? Everyone agrees, even though there's a machlokas by a bechor, that whether you're allowed to be makiz dam of Bukhar when he's ready achso dam, when he already has a mum. So is this called being matil mum in a Bukhar? Because after all, it's already a bal mum. So there's one shita that holds that it's mutter to be makiz and to make a mum on the animal that's already a bal mum. If a person, but even so, there's a machlokas over there. But when it comes to a kavur mincha that's supposed to be made as matzah, it's not supposed to be made as chametz, and it's already been become chametz. Can you be mechametz it further? Can you allow it to become chametz even further? So that everyone agrees, mechametz achar mechametz shul chayiv, that you're chayiv for being mechametz further once it's ready to become chametz. Shneimar lo sofa chametz lo sasa chametz, because the pasuk says lo sofa chametz lo sasa chametz. So afia is a general concept. So why does it have to dafka say lo sasa chametz to tell us that just like afia is miuchedas, that it's a maisa and you're chayiv on it on its own? So too, if you needed it bechimutz, and someone else comes and arranges it bechimutz, and someone else comes and bakes it bechimutz, so any act you do on this carbon bechimutz is going to be a separate chiyuv. A person is going to be chayiv for. So everyone agrees mechametz achar mechametz is chayiv, and not only that, bemesaris achar mesaris shu chayiv. Everyone also agrees that a double sirus, to be mesaris someone who's already a sris, you're also chayiv. Shneimar Ma'uch v'chasus v'natuk v'charus. Pasuk gives all these four examples of different types of sirus. Say malkaris chayev al natuk lo kolishkein. If even a slight slice of that area is going to be chayev, so certainly you're going to be chayev for completely detaching it, for completely cutting it off. So why does it have to tell me natuk after it already says karus? So we see that even if you're already misares by being kares a little bit, you're going to be chayiv separately for being notek, for completely detaching it. So you see, misares achar misares, you're going to be chayiv for. So again, what were we trying to say? The Gemara asked the Kasha, how can we recommend as a therapy for jaundice something that's going to involve being misares a person? So far we tried two answers. The first answer we tried to suggest is, the Gemara tried to suggest that maybe the sirus isn't happening directly, it's indirect, and that's okay. Gemara says, no, there's no such thing. Even indirectly, it's bad. So the second answer, the Gemara says, no, maybe we're talking about someone who's already a sris, so there's no further iser of being misari, somebody who's already a sris. The Gemara says, no, that's not true. There is a further iser of being misari, someone who's already a sris, as you see from this pasuk, where it gives various examples of how to be misari, and it talks about lesser cutting and greater cutting. So you see, there is an iser of being misari, someone who's already a sris. The only time there's a machlokas, where there's an iser of doing something after the damage is already done, is by a balmum of a bukhar. So is there an iser of making a second mum on a bukhar that's already balmum? But when it comes to making a sris, a further sris, and yachnami, that's definitely going to be another iser. So what's the case where we're going to suggest for jaundice, we're going to suggest using some sort of medication that can be misari a person? So says Gemara ve'ela b'zakein. Now it must be that we're talking about someone who's a zakein, so he's unable to have children anyway. So maybe there's no issur to be misari such a person. Frankly, Gemara v'amar Rabbi Yochanan hein heinich ziruni l'nu rosai. Rabbi Yochanan says that with the various medications that he spoke about, make someone who previously was unable to have tashmish, make him youthful again and capable of having tashmish. So don't tell me there's no issur being misari such a person. There's got to be an issur being misari such a person, because you never know, he might have the medication that can make him capable of tashmish, and now you're misari, so I mean, you took away that ability. Ella, rather, the Gemara says, no, maybe the case is be'isha. Who do we recommend this jaundice therapy for? That's for a woman. And maybe with the assumption is that for a woman there's no issur of sirus. Why would there be no issur of sirus for a woman? Because a woman is not Mitzuva in Puruvu. Puruvu is a mitzvah on a man. There is an issue, there is a mitzvah for a woman to have children, but that's the general issue for all of humanity, that Lashavetz Yitzhara, that Hashem did not create the world to be empty, Hashem created the world to be populated. But in that, a woman is included in, but she's not mitzvah in Puruvu, so maybe there's no issue of sirus by a woman. So says the Gemara, Barul Rabbi Yochanan Broka Domer al Shneim Uomer, Vayivarachas on al Kim, Vayimalan Puruvu, Maikal Meimar. So what are you going to say though, if you hold like the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, that the mitzvah mitzvah of puruvu was said to a woman as well. So then again, this medication for jaundice that we're recommending that has the ability to be misares, the yisur of sira should apply to a woman as well. So who are we recommending this medication for? So says Gemara, bizakena inami ba'akara. Or maybe we're talking about an elderly woman or a woman who's already an akara. So maybe in such a case, we would say that that would not be an iser of sirus. If you look at Tosfos, Tosfos bezekenu ba'akara bi'ishanami lo shayich ba misaris achar misaris de'in shayich ba sirus. That it's not shayich misaris achar misaris by an isha because there's no sirus. Meaning the fact that she was a zekena isn't the first level of sirus. It wasn't sirus at all. That's just aging. And akara also is not sirus. So that's just she was never able to have children. So therefore, there's no isser over here of being misaris achar misaris. You're not being misaris. You have someone who's unable to have children at all. So it would not be any problem of misaris achar misaris. Why don't we say the same thing that we said before by Zakin, that there are certain refuos that could make the person who was previously unable to have children because he was too old and be machzir him lenaruso, bring him back to his youth. Why don't we say the same thing by a zakena, by an elderly woman? So obviously the assumption is that we don't know of any such medications by a woman. It was Rabbi Yochanan who said Heine nechziruni lenu rosai. That was only by a man, by a woman. We don't have any such possibility of being machzir lina arusa. Good, so that's the sugya of sirus. But now we begin new Mishnah, how to treat various tooth ailments using vinegar. So says the Mishnah, Choshesh Peshinav, if a person is suffering from a toothache, lo yigama behenes achomets avul metabalu kadarkov nisrape nisrape. Person has a toothache, he should not rinse his mouth with vinegar, because that's a blatant and obvious form of refuah, but he can dip his food in vinegar in a way that he would normally eat, and whatever refuah results from that, as long as he's eating normally, that's going to be perfectly fine. That's not our problem. Hachoshesh b'masna, if a person is suffering in his loins, and he wants to rub something on to for a therapy, lo yisuch yayim chometz, he should not rub wine or vinegar, aval sachu es hashem, but he can use oil. Velo shemen vered, but not rose oil, because rose oil is considered to be very expensive and fine oil that would only be used for therapy, wouldn't be used for any other purposes, so that's too obvious a therapy for him to be allowed to use on Shabbos. B'nei malachim sachen shemen vered al makoseen. Now, princes are allowed to use rose oil, because they use rose oil, shekin darkel lasel b'chal, they use rose oil all the time on weekdays, even when they're not suffering from, they're not choshib b'masnav, when they have no mako, when they have no injuries, what whatsoever, so therefore it doesn't look like they're necessarily using it as a therapy. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim. Rabbi Shimon says, well, wait a second, if it's good enough for B'nei Malachim to use on a regular basis, and therefore is going to be mutter, it's not going to be considered refuah, well then it's good enough for any Jew to use, because every Jew is considered like a prince, every Jew is considered B'nei Malachim. So, frak Gemara, Rami le Rav Aricha, Dehu Rav Acha Bar Papa le Rabbi Yavahu, Rav Aricha, who is Rav, Rami le Rav Acha Aricha, Rav Acha Aricha, who is the same as Rav Acha Bar Papa, asked the following stira to Rabbi Avahu. Tanan, it says on the one hand in our Mishnah that a choshesh b'shin of lo yigama behenes achometz, that if a person has a toothache, he should not rinse his mouth with vinegar. L'meimur duchometz mali l'shinayim. That makes it sound like vinegar is something that's very healthy for the teeth. It's good for the teeth. Vaksiv. But doesn't the pasuk say kachometz l'shinayim ka'ashen le'enayim? The pasuk on the Mishle, when it refers to a lazy person, it says that a lazy person is like chometz l'shinayim, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, meaning we're saying something that's not complimentary about him, that he's damaging, that he's bad. So isn't the implication that vinegar is bad for the teeth? How could our Mishnah suggest, or strongly imply, that vinegar is good for the teeth? Says Mar Lo Kasha, Ha Bekiyo Depiri, Ha Bechala. No, the juice of unripe fruit is bad for the teeth, but vinegar is good for the teeth. So the juice of the unripe fruit, that's what it was talking about when it was saying, well, that's what the Pasuk Mishle is talking about when it spoke about that which is bad for the teeth. But real vinegar is good for the teeth. Vibay Sema, second possible answer, Havaha Bechala. Maybe they're both talking about vinegar. Aye, how could the Mishnah assume it's good for the teeth and the Pasuk Mishle assume it's bad for the teeth? Hadi ikamaka, hadalakamaka, ikamaka masi, lakamaka marpi. Maybe it depends whether the person is suffering from an ailment, if it has a wound or not. It's good for teeth that have a wound. It has therapeutic value if you have a wound. But when it's when there's no maka, when they're healthy teeth, then it's harmful for teeth. And that's what the pasuk in Mishlei must have been talking about. Lo yigama b'anes hachomet. So he said, the Mishnah says that even if you swallow the vinegar, it's a problem of refua. So frekli gemara v'atana lo yigama polet av megamea bolea. But the brisa seems to suggest that no, you're only not allowed to rinse and then spit it out like a mouthwash type of thing, because that makes it obvious that you're using it for therapy. But you are allowed to swallow, to rinse with it and swallow it. That's perfectly permissible. So it's against our mishnah. Our mishnah seems to imply lo yigamea, that you're not allowed to rinse with it at all, even if you plan on swallowing it. But here you have beferish in the brisa that you're allowed to rinse with it as long as you swallow it, because then it looks more naturally like you're eating it and not like a therapy. Some Rabbaye kita nami masnisin megameo pole tanan. Abaye answers, yeah, inachinami. When the Mishnah says that lo yigamea, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to rinse with it at all. It means you're not allowed to rinse and spit out. But of course, you are allowed to rinse and swallow. Rava amar afilu tema megameo balea. Rava says, no, maybe our Mishnah is talking about swallowing it, and our Mishnah still thinks there's a problem with it. Why? Kan lefnei tibul, kan liachet tibul. It's a question of when you are doing the vinegar rinse. If it's before you eat, lefnei tibul, before you dip your food, and before you eat your meal, then it's mutter, because that was normal to dip things in vinegar all day, and the person sees you doing that, is not going to think that you have anything wrong with you and that you're using this for medication. So that's going to be mutter. But la'achar tibul, after the meal, that's very unusual to be rinsing at that time, and therefore that's going to be asr. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. So even if you're megamea ubalea, even if you rinse and swallow it, it's not necessarily natural looking. It depends what the context is, at which part of the meal you're doing that in. So that's how Rav is metarets differently than Abaye. So frankly, Gemara v'neima midil lefneish tibul shari leachar tibul nami shari. But wait a second. If Rava would hold that it's mutter to be megamea the vinegar before tibul, then he should also hold that it's mutter after tibul, after the meal. Why? Because Rava is the one that holds of hoil. Rava holds that when something is mutter in one context, that once we make something permissible in one context, we automatically permit it in all contexts. Where do we find that Rava holds this? And therefore, that would mean by tibul of the rinsing of the vinegar, that if it's mutter to rinse the vinegar before the meal, mimela it has to be mutter to rinse the vinegar after the meal. Where do we find that Rava has this concept of hawil, that just because something is mutter in one context, it has to be mutter in every context? Dama Rava, leka midi de b'shabishari b'yom kippur maser. Rava says there's nothing on Shabbos that's mutter and is asr on Yom Kippur. Holdish de b'shabes shari b'yom kippurim nami shari. Anything that's mutter to do on Shabbos is mutter to do on Yom Kippur as well. What was the context of Rava saying that that something that's mutter on Shabbos has to be mutter on Yom Kippur? So the Rashi fills us in over here that we're talking about tevila, that in Maseches in Maseches Beitza, by going to the mikvah, we say hol b'chi agavim t'ktan yasim dein mat biun kelim b'shabes va'adam tovel v'arminim kelim maitaim elo. The Gemara over there says, why can't you be tovel kelim on Shabbos? What's the problem of bringing kelim to the mikvah? So Rava says, m'nei shenira k'masakin kli, because it looks like you took a kli that wasn't good, you weren't allowed to use, and now you're masakin it, because now you're metarit in the mikvah. But an adam, there's no problem of a person going to the mikvah, because a person, it doesn't look like you're bringing masak in the person. Adarabba, it looks like nira k'meikar, it looks like you just went in to cool off. So the Gemara says, great, that would explain why it's mutter to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, because on Shabbos there's an alternate explanation. Maybe he's not fixing himself, maybe he's just going to rinse himself off, to clean himself off. What about on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to rinse yourself off either. It's one of the Chamish Yinuim, and Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to bathe. So everyone's going to realize when you're going to the mikvah, you're going to be misakin yourself, you're going to fix yourself. So shouldn't we make a gzera that that's usher to do? So Rava says, nope. If it's mutter on Shabbos, got to be mutter on Yom Kippur. Meaning, even though the reason that it's mutter on Shabbos doesn't apply to Yom Kippurim, And it makes sense to make a gzeira not to be tovel on Yom HaKippurim, but if it's mutter on Shabbos, mimela, it has to be mutter on Yom HaKippurim. So don't you see that Rava holds of Ho'il? Now, if Rava holds of Ho'il, then Rava should also say that if you're allowed to rinse with vinegar before a meal, you have to be allowed to rinse with vinegar after a meal. Says Gemara, Hadabe Rava Mehach. Now, Rava changed his mind from that shita, meaning that Rava does hold of Ho'il, as is evident in the halacha of Yom Kippur, where we say that he is allowed to go to the mikvah. Rava changed his mind. He backed out of his answer that distinguishes between before and after the meal. So, what does he hold? What do you do with our stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa about using vinegar? So he's going to answer it like Abaye. He'll say the same way Abaye answered, that you're allowed to use vinegar if you swallow it. You're not allowed to use vinegar if you don't swallow it on Shabbos. But he definitely does hold of Ho'il. So says Gemara, wait a second. How do you know that Rava backed out of his explanation of the stira between our Mishnah and Braisa about vinegar? Maybe he does hold of that distinction between before the meal and during the meal, and you know which position he backed out of? He backed out of the idea of Ho'il. So says Gemara, lo salkadaitach. Now that's not possible that he backed out of Ho'il. Titania, because we have a Braisa, kol chayavi tfilos tovlin kegdarkon, bein betish abav, bein biyom akiburim. Because the halacha is, the Braisa says that anyone who's chayiv tevila could be tovel on Tisha B'Av and on Yom HaKippurim. So that's how you know for sure that Rava did not back out of that position. Rava must have held that it's mutter to go to the mikvah on Yom HaKippurim. So asks Tosos, wait a second, how did that answer anything? Tema minalam de meha hadrbe, dilma mitam de mefarish hasam, deinmat bilm b'shabes mishum de mechzik misakin kli, v'yifarish shasa litpol mishum gzeira shemi yavrenu dalarms prushus rabim. Okshar taimi de mefarish hasam, Tosos says, wait a second, maybe Rava allows going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, but it has nothing to do with Ho'il. Maybe what was the reason we assumed that going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur has to do with Ho'il? Because we thought that the only reason you're allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos is that someone will think you're just bathing, because generally the issue is that it looks like you're being mesakin kli, but on Shabbos someone will think you're just bathing, and in Yom Kippur no one's going to think you're just bathing, so it should have been asur unless we have Ho'il. But maybe Rava doesn't say that the issue of going to the mikvah is that it looks like it's mesakin kli. Maybe it's a gzera shemi yavrenu dal amos prishus rabim, that it's a stomach gzera that we're afraid you're going to carry for amos and prishus rabim, and that whole gzera doesn't apply to a person. That only applies when you're carrying a kli. But a person would be mutter to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, not because it's near a kimekar, that it looks like he's cooling off and doesn't look like he's being misaki. No, because the whole issue of bringing a kli to the mikvah in the first place, according to one day in the Gemara over there, is that you might come to carry a dalet amos and rishus rabim. And there's no such concern by a person, because a person is, you're not carrying a person. So then maybe that's why you're allowed to be tovel in the mikvah on Yom Kippur. Nothing to do with Ho'il. Maybe Rava really doesn't hold of Ho'il at all. So says the Gemara, Va'omeri tolo mistafir lafuche tre mili mishum chada, that in general, if you have three statements, we're not going to change two of them to conform to the one. We'll change one to conform to the two. De tre mili ninu, chada mitam de nirka misakein, v'chada ha-milsa de islei Ho'il. That we have the idea that it's near Kemisakein, and we have the concept that Rava holds of Ho'il. So it's unlikely that we're going to change both of those concepts in favor of Rava's Lifnei Tibul Liachar Tibul Chiluk that he has in our Gemara. It's much more likely that we would go the other way around. So that's how Tosos deals with that issue of how we know conclusively in our Gemara that Rava backed out of his original explanation of our Mishnah. So again, just to clarify, we asked the stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah. We asked the stira was that the Mishnah implies that even if you swallow the vinegar, it's a problem of refuah, but the Braisa says that only rinsing and spitting it out is a problem, swallowing it is fine. So we had two potential terutzim, Abaye's teretz, that our Mishnah really only forbids rinsing and spitting out, but would permit rinsing and swallowing. And we have Rava's teretz, that our Mishnah forbids swallowing the vinegar after the meal is over when it's clearly being used as medicine, the Braisa allows swallowing the vinegar before the meal when it looks like it's a natural part of the meal. But then the Gemara says, no, Rava backed out of that teretz, and therefore Rava Mistama goes like Abaye's teretz. And therefore, even though it sounded like we had two terutzim, at the end of the day, we really only have one teretz that stands. Okay, weiter in the Gemara, now five lines from the bottom of the page, at the two dots. Hachoshish b'mastam. So the Mishnah said that if someone's loins are hurting him, so he's allowed to rub oil on, but we had a machlokas if he's allowed to use shemen vered. B'nei Malachim for sure could use shemen vered because that's normal for them, but Tanakama holds regular people cannot use shemen vered because it's obviously being used as medication, whereas Rabbi Shimon holds no, all Jews are b'nei Malachim, so if a prince is allowed to use shemen vered, so too is any Jew allowed to use shemen vered. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zivda Amar Rav Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon. L'meimah d'Rav K'Rabbi Shimon Svirle. Wait a second. Do you mean to say, therefore, that Rav automatically assumes like Rabbi Shimon? That Rav always goes like Rabbi Shimon? Sava Amar Rav Simi Bar Chia Mishmei d'Rav Haimasuch Raya D'Nizyasa. Don't we know that Rav tells us that if you have a plug for a beer barrel, for a keg, you're not allowed to plug it on Yantif. You're not allowed to plug a cloth into an opening of a beer keg on Yantif because it's going to squeeze some of the beer out and it's going to be a violation of Schita in some way. So, what's the violation of Schita? It's a Dover Shein Meskavin. You're just trying to plug the hole. The fact that something's going to be squeezed out of the cloth that you're stuffing in there is a Dover Shein Meskavin. Rabbi Shimon should say that's mutter. If Rav really held like Rabbi Shimon, then why would Rav hold that it's usher to plug the beer keg? Rabbi Shimon should hold its mutter because the davar shein miskaven. So says Gemara, no, but he afilu Rabbi Shimon moda. Plugging the beer keg, even Rabbi Shimon holds its usher. That by the Rav Dami Tarvayu moda Rabbi Shimon psikreshi v'lo yamos. Rabbi Shimon is moda that in a situation of psikreshi where it's not just a davar shein miskaven, an unintended malacha, but you know for sure that the malacha is going to result from what you're doing, then even Rabbi Shimon is going to be moda that's a problem. So that's why Rav can, in fact, be going like Rabbi Shimon. So wait a second. Says Tosfos, I don't understand. What was the Gemara's Kasha? That Rav over here tells us that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon about what? About using rose oil. That all B'nai Yisrael are allowed to use rose oil. What in the world does that have to do with Rabbi Shimon's Shita about Davar Shein Miskaven? What did the Gemara say? How can you say Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon that you're allowed to use rose oil? Rav doesn't hold of Rabbi Shimon's Shita of Davar Shein Miskaven. What does his Shita about Davar Shein Miskaven have anything to do with rose oil? So Rashi, right off the bat, says, L'meimer de Rav, the way he understands it, Bekule Shabbos Svirulek Rabbi Shimon. Notice the Girsa issue, that one Girsa in Rashi is Bekule with a Kuf. That in all leniencies of Hilcha Shabbos, we're assuming that if you hold like Rabbi Shimon in one leniency of Hilcha Shabbos, you hold like him in all leniencies of Hilcha Shabbos. So if you hold of the leniency that all Jews are allowed to use rose oil, then you also hold of the leniency Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter. That's the fundamental point of the question, according to Rashi, is that you're either all in or you got nothing in terms of your attitude toward Rabbi Shimon. You either agree with everything Rabbi Shimon says, either Bekule with a kuf or bechulei with a kaf, with a chaf, in terms of all of Hilcha Shabbos or all the leniencies of Hilcha Shabbos, or you're all out. But Tosfos doesn't really accept that. If you look at Tosfos on the first wide line, the first very wide line, the Meimur Rabbi Shimon Svirle, Pirush Bekunchos, the Meimur Rav Bekulei Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon Svirle, V'li Nir Adim Kein Havli Lakshu Yimikarchi Dizuzi, the Rav Asad Perakama, V'kama Amran, the Mechalkin, B'Suri Shabbos, Kama Perak Mefanin, B'Muksa La'achila, Savla Krabidu, B'Muksa La'tiltu, V'chulei. He says, if that's going to be the kasha, then you could ask a lot of other kashas, because there's no shortage of Amoraim that hold like some of Rabbi Shimon's Shitas in Hilcha Shabbos, and not like other Shitas of Rabbi Shimon in Hilcha Shabbos. Where is there a rule that you have to hold like everything Rabbi Shimon says in Hilcha Shabbos, or every leniency Rabbi Shimon says in Hilcha Shabbos? If the two aren't logically connected to each other, two Pesachim of Rabbi Shimon are not logically connected to each other, there's no rule that you have to follow every sheet of Rabbi Shimon. You have such a rule that every time there's a machlokas, I don't know, Rav Moshe and the Chaznish, that you have to hold like Rav Moshe in every single Indian in Hilcha Shabbos. No, when Rav Moshe's shita you think is more correct, so then you follow Rav Moshe's shita. And the Chazon Ish's shita you think is more correct, as long as they're not logically linked to each other, they just happen to be separate machlokasim. You don't have to lock into one shita. It's like we once asked Rav Schechter, how do you know when to paskin like Rav Soloveitchik, when not to paskin like Rav Soloveitchik? One of the boys in the class asked once when I was in Rav Schechter's shir, and Rav Schechter said without blinking an eye, he said, when Rav Soloveitchik is correct, when you think Rav Soloveitchik is correct, you paskin like Rav Soloveitchik. When you don't think he's correct, you don't paskin like Rav Soloveitchik. It wasn't a chutzpah to his Rebbe, like any gedolei poskin. If you know how to paskin a shayla on your own, you paskin like you could paskin like Chazon Ish here, Rav Moshe there, Rav Soloveitchik there. That's perfectly fine. So you don't have to paskin like every sheet of Rabbi Shimon Tosa says. Who wrote such a rule that you have to paskin like every sheet of Rabbi Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos? Yeah, we do have a concept, Hilchsa Karav Bi'Ksurei, Hilchsa Kishmul Bidinei, that in Isra V'Heter, we always take the one sheet of Rav. In Dina Mamnus, we generally take the one sheet of Shmuel. Rav Schechter used to always explain that doesn't mean that there's a rule. The rule is not why we paskin like Rav Bi'Ksurei, because someone decided that you have to paskin like Rav all the time Bi'Ksurei. No, it's the other way around. We took a vote and figured out who was more correct in most of the machlokes in Isra V'Heter, and it turned out that Rav was a greater expert in Isra V'Heter and was mechavin to the more correct psak most of the time in Isra V'Heter. So that's why we said Rav Bi'Ksurei. So the rule is an observation. It's not a rule. It's an observation of the fact that Rav usually says what the halacha is in Isra V'Heter, and Shmuel in Dine Mamnis. Shmuel is a greater expert in Dine Mamnis, so he normally says what the halacha is in Dine Mamnis. There's no ironclad rule that you have to follow one shita. That's often a big misconception that people think that if you hold like Rav Moshe in one thing, then you have to hold like Rav Moshe in every other thing. They say, oh, you're going to follow that kula? Well, then you have to follow every kula. Again, you can't go picking and choosing, everybody's kulas. Like Rav Schechter used to tell us, he says, everyone has a mishigas here and there, but if the guy who goes around and collects everyone else's mishigas, and that person is a mishugana, right? You don't go around collecting every everybody, picking and choosing whatever sounds the easiest to you. But if someone is higil or ra, someone knows how to pass on the shayla on their own, and they understand the sugya, and they know what the factors are, so there's no reason to lock you into one shita. So again, so back to Tosas Kasha. What kind of kasha is the Gemara asking? How can Rav pass on like Rabbi Shimon about rose oil? Rav doesn't pass on like Rabbi Shimon about davar shein miskaven. What does one have to do with the other? So says Tosos, they're very much connected. V'nir l'Rabbi Natan, d'mashmalei d'taymei d'Rabbi Shimon masnisim yishum d'shari davar shein miskaven. The Gemara is assuming the reason Rabbi Shimon allows using rose oil is because he thinks it's a davar shein miskaven. V'tanakama asr le'afilu l'tanug mishum d'zimna l'refua kaven. Tanakama says you're not even allowed to use it just for enjoyment, because sometimes you'll do it for refua. But Rabbi Shimon would say you're allowed to use it for enjoyment. The fact that you're getting refua out of it is a davar shein miskaven, and that's why it's mutter. Oh, so then Rav is going to pass, and that I hold like Rabbi Shimon that Shem and Vered. That's the same thing as saying I hold like Rabbi Shimon that Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter. So the Gemara asks on Rav, do you really hold like Rabbi Shimon Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter? We know that you happen to not hold like Rabbi Shimon Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter based on the case of Sechraya Denizasa, of filling the beer, of plugging the hole in the beer keg with a cloth where something gets squeezed out, and you hold that's also to do. So the Gemara answered, no, that case of the beer keg is not just a simple Davar Shein Miskaven case, that's a Pesik Reshe case, that it's a Pesik Reshe that the beer is going to be squeezed out in that case. And even Rabbi Shimon is Moda, even Rabbi Shimon is Moda in a situation of Pesik Reshe. Now, what exactly is the malacha that's being done when the beer is squeezed out of the cloth? So the Gemara states that squeezing absorbed liquids from a wet cloth is definitely a violation of malacha. That's our Gemara. There's a machlokas rishonim on exactly which malachas are involved. There's a long tosos here. There's also a long tosos in Maseches Ksuvos and that Vav Amud Aleph. And tosos basically explains that squeezing liquids that are absorbed in a fabric is a tolda of dash. That's a violation of the malacha of dash. You're squeezing liquid out of a fabric. Tosos also acknowledges there may be an additional iser of melabin when you squeeze liquid from a garment, because you're laundering the garment. But the Isser Malabein, l'chora, would only apply to clear liquid that's actually useful in cleaning the garment. If the liquid is beer, so it doesn't really clean the garment, then it would only be a violation of dash. Now here's the thing. When it comes to dash, the Isser of dash is only if that which you squeeze out is still usable, because you're trying to thresh out that which was in there before to use the thing that you're taking out of the cloth. But if that which you squeeze out is immediately holich le'ibud, it immediately gets destroyed as you're pulling it out, as you're squeezing it out, then it would not be a violation of dash. And if the liquid that's being used is not water, it would not be a violation of malabim. So that's what Tosus explains, that this spout of the beer keg that you're plugging in with a wet towel, must not be at the bottom of the keg. Because if the spout's at the bottom of the keg, then whatever liquid you're squeezing out of the towel is just going to land on the floor underneath the keg and will be immediately destroyed. It's holich le'ibud, and it would not be a violation of dash. It must be that it's at the top of the keg. Think like an orange juice container, where you're squeezing the cloth into the hole at the top of the orange juice container. So everything that you squeeze is going to land right back into the keg. It's not holich le'ibud, it's going to be usable again. And that's why it's going to be a violation of dash. This comes up in the issue of brushing teeth on Shabbos, one of the topics I like to talk about. I wrote an article on this topic about 10 years ago. Brushing teeth on Shabbos is a question whether squeezing the liquid out of the toothbrush is a violation of schita. So whenever you have schita, you have to look at it from those two perspectives. Is it dash and is it malabin? So there are, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg's itself, the Sri Deish in Aruch Chaim Siman Lamed, gives a number of reasons that he thinks there should not be a problem of schita in using a wet toothbrush. First of all, he says, yeah, it's a davar shehinu miskaven. You don't intend to squeeze the water out, and therefore it's not. It's a davar shehinu miskaven. Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's mutter. But it's psik reishei. So he quotes that the Trumas Deshin, the Magen Avraham, write that when the Isser in question is only an Isser Drabanan, a person is allowed to do even a psik reishei and a Drabanan. Then psik reishei and a Drabanan is mutter. But it should be noted, of course, that the sheet of the Trumas Deshin is not accepted by most poskim. The Ramah seems to asir psik reishei and a Drabanan very clearly in Simin Shin Yodalid, Se'if Aleph. Second reason that Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg says maybe we could be mekel is that squeezing liquid out of a garment poses a problem of mefarek, of dash, as well as malabin. Now, mefarek, if the extracted liquid is immediately useless, then it's not dash, it's not a problem of dash. So he says, what happens when you brush your teeth? Yes, liquid might be coming out of the toothbrush, but it's immediately useless, and therefore it's not dash. It's not malabin because the water is not really clean either. The water is full of toothpaste and soapy stuff, so it's not good water, and therefore it's not going to be malabin either. He also points out that it would only be malabin if it's the type of garment that you would clean in using water. But when it's a garment that's always meant to have water put in and taken out of it, and that's just derech tashmisho, to have water put in and taken out of it all the time, that would not be an issue of malabin when you extract that kind of liquid. Again, all of these assertions are questionable. Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva back to the Sri Deish, where he's not convinced by any of these arguments. He says, wait, when the water comes out of the toothbrush, it's totally chliibud, it's useless. Doesn't it then actually help in cleaning the teeth? Isn't that the whole point, that you're squeezing water out of the toothbrush to help clean the teeth? It's not immediately holy, but it's working and doing exactly what you want it to do. Okay, but all of this goes back to this discussion that the Balei HaTosos have over here about what the Isser is of the schit, of the squeezing the cloth when you stick it into the beer keg. But back into the Gemara, so it says the Gemara, wait a second, still, does Rav really want to pass on like Rabbi Shimon? V'amar Rav Chiya Barashi, the end of the third line on Amud Beis. Now, V'amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Yom Rav, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Chana Barami Yom Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Shimon, that Rav holds Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's Shmuel that holds Halacha like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chiya Bar Avin Masin, Lo Belo Gavri, that Rav, Amar Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel, Amar Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Some say without even any other shittos mixed in, that Rav holds straight Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, and not like Rabbi Shimon. So how can you tell me that Rav always holds like Rabbi Shimon? Ella Amar Rava. Rather, Rava says, Aniva Arisha B'Chabura Targimna. I and the lion of our group have explained. Umanu Rabbi Chiyo, who is the lion of our group? It's Rabbi Chiyo Bar Avin. That Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Velav Mitaimei. Now we do pass on like Rabbi Shimon about using the rose oil. but for a totally different reason. Not because we always pass like Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon is scavin or anything like that. No, totally different reason. Elam, what do you mean by that? That Allah is like Rabbi Shimon, but for a different reason. Elam, Allah Rabbi Shimon Deshari, Vilav Mitam, Medi, Rabbi Shimon Savar Masi, Vrav Savar Lamasi. If you want to tell me that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon, that it's mutter to use the rose oil, but for a different reason, because Rabbi Shimon holds that it's actually therapeutic and Rav holds it's not therapeutic at all. Savar Rav Lamasi, does Rav really hold that it's not therapeutic at all? Vamidiktani, B'nai Malach, and Sachna Gabi Makosei, and Shemin Vered, Mechal Damasi. From the fact that it says that the princes use this rose oil for their injuries, so we do see it is therapeutic, that it does help. Ella halacha Rabbi Shimon deshari v'lav mitamei. No, what we mean is that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter, but lav mitamei is dilu Rabbi Shimon savra afal gavdelo shchiach shari. Rabbi Shimon would hold even if it's uncommon, it's not something that you can find in your local drugstore, shemen vered, it's still going to be mutter. The Rav Sovereign Rav does not agree to that. Rav thinks if this is an uncommon thing to find, it is not mutter. No, Rav holds ishchiach in vilo shchiach lo. Only if you could find it at your local corner drugstore is it going to be mutter. Otherwise, forget about it. But uba asud Rav shchiach mishcha devarda. In Rav's location, it happened to have been that it was something that was very easily, commonly found, and that's why Rav held it was mutter. Not because Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon. As a rule, Rav does not hold like Rabbi Shimon. So that is the end. Hadron Allah, Shmona Shratzim, the end of Parak Shmona Shratzim, the 14th Parak of Masech Shabbos. Let's now begin the 15th Parak of Shabbos. Ve'el Ksharm Shechev Nalem, and the following Ksharm, a person is chayy for making a knot on Shabbos. Keshra Gemalim, Keshra Sopanim, you're chayy for tying or untying a permanent knot. That ties the ring into the camel's nose, or the permanent knot that ties the rings onto the ship. These are the knots that a person is chayv for making. Now, if these are knots for the malacha of kosher, so the twin malacha for kosher is matir. There are certain malachos that have a twin malacha, bona and soser, right? They come in pairs. There's building, then there's destroying. There's kosher and matir. Whatever is considered a knot for tying is considered not for the malacha of untying. Rameir Omer kol kesher shu yachol atiro ba'achas miyadav ein chayav nov. Rameir says, no, the rule is any knot that you can untie with just one hand is not subject to the malacha da'araisa of kosher, nor to the malacha da'araisa of matir. It's not subject to the malacha da'araisa if you could untie it with one hand. So it says, what are these knots that we mentioned in the Mishnah? My keshra gemalim, the keshra sapanim. What is the knot that the camel rider and that the sailor use? If it's the knot that we use to tie the ring that's already in the animal's nose to a leash, or the knot that we use to tie the ring that's already attached to the boat onto the dock, well, that's a kesher sheino shel kayama, because you're always tying that and untying that, you're always putting it back and forth. Ella kitra dizmama gufei udistura gufa. No, what we're talking about is the actual ring that's in the animal's nose is made out of a rope that you tie through the animal's nose. You leave that there forever. It's just whenever you want to leash the animal, you'll tie another rope into that ring. But the original ring is there forever. That's certainly a kesher shel kayama. And the same with the boat. The actual ring that's tied onto the boat stays there forever. It's just when you want to dock the boat, you'll tie another rope into that ring. But the ring that's a kesher shel kayama is the original ring in the animal's nose and in the boat itself. Rameir Omer called Kesher, then Rameir said in our Mishnah that any Kesher you could untie with one hand is not called Kesher Legabe, the Malach of Kosher, nor Legabe Matir. So by Ravach Tavoy Achvi Demar Acha Anival Rameir Mahu. What would Rameir say about a bow? You could easily untie a bow with one hand, even a double knot, a double knotted bow, you could untie with one hand. So what's the Svara? What does Rameir say about, is that not a knot? Is it it's not considered N-O-T, considered a knot, a K-N-O-T, because it could be untied with one hand? Or do you say, no, this is a pretty significantly strongly fastened knot, and therefore it is considered a knot, even according to Rav Meir? So, who is the real svar of Rav Meir that anything that's so easily untied just can't be considered a knot? And the bow, no matter how tightly tied, can also be untied with one hand, so it can't be considered a knot. Or maybe the svar of Rav Meir is simply that normally something you could untie with one hand is just not very tightly tied. But a bow can be very tightly tied, even if you're able to undo it with one hand. So maybe it should be considered a knot. So take the Gemara leaves that completely unresolved. It should stand. We don't know what the answer to that question is, what Rav Meir's svara really is. Next Mishnah. There are certain knots that a person is not chayav on, like the knot of gamolin and the knot of safanim, which is very interesting, because the last Mishnah said these are the knots that a person is chayav on, the Keshra Gamal and the Keshra Sapanim. So obviously we're going to have to deal with what the difference is between the Keshra Gamal and Keshra Sapanim we just had in the last Mishnah and the Keshra Gamal and Keshra Sapanim we have in this Mishnah. Kosher Isha Mefteh Chalukah, a woman could tie the straps of her shirt, V'chutei Savacha, the straps of her hat, V'shal Piskai, V'rutzuz, Minol, V'sandal, and various straps on her shoes, V'nodos Yayin, V'shemen, and containers of wine and oil, O'kedera Shal Basar, and a pot of meat, V'lozman Yagavom, or Koshel of Ne'abahem, and B'shul Shalot Teitzei, that you could tie in front of a behema to keep a behema locked up, that it's not going to go out. So frek the Gemara right off the bat. Hagufa Kasha. Amrit Yesh Kshar Shein Chayav Nalein, Kikashra Gamalim, Kikashra Safanim, Chiyuvuhu Delaka Yisura Ika. So first we said there are certain Ksharim that a person is not Chayav on, like Kikashra of Gamalim and Safanim, which makes it sound like, but it is Asr to tie those knots. Vahadatani, Kashar Sisha Mafteh Chaluka. Then we say that a woman is allowed to tie the knots on her shirt, which Afil Lechadchila, sounds like she's allowed to do even lechatchila. So which is it? Is this second Mishnah listing knots that are mutter to tie, or are we listing knots that are pater avalaser? So says Mar Hachi Kamer, Yesh Ksharin Shein Chayav Nalein, Ki Kashra Gamalin, Kashra Sapanim. There are certain knots that are pater avalaser, that you're not going to be chayav for them, but you're not allowed to tie them. Umay Nihu, Kitra Dekatri Bizmama, V'Kitra Dekatri Biistarida, Chiyuvu Delaka Yisuri Ika. The knots by which you would tie the leash onto the animal, or the knots by which you would tie the boat to dock the boat. Those are knots that are somewhat temporary, so you're not chayav for them, but they're not so temporary that it's completely mutter either. So again, in the first mission of the Perek, we had the knots that are actually tied through the animal's nose, and the knot that's actually tied directly onto the boat, that's a real kesher shel kayama, that you're actually chayav, that's a level one knot. Then you have a level 2 knot, which is the knots that you would tie onto those knots to tie a leash onto an animal to dock a boat. Those are level 2 knots, which are asur to make, but you're not going to be chayiv for them. And then, vaitu in the Gemara, last line, v'yesha mutarin l'chadchila. And then there are some knots that are so temporary that it's mutar l'chadchila to make them. Umay nihu, kosheres miftach chaluka. And those are the rest of the examples in the Mishnah of the woman tying the straps of her shirt and the hat and the shoes and all that stuff. That's all knots that are completely mutter. And that is, we'll stop right there. Shabbos daf kafir alf. We'll stop 4 lines into kafir beis amin alf. And be'ez Hashem, I hope to have time to record tomorrow's daf as well. Kofiyud Beis Amud Aleph, hopefully we'll pick up from those two dots 5 lines into the page and Daf Kofiyud Beis.